Bollworm populations in Mid-South are increasingly driven by corn acreage. Threats of damage to BT cotton are increasingly linked to the growing acreage of corn, particularly BT corn. I used this slide more than two decades ago at a beltwide meeting here in New Orleans to illustrate the importance of both resistance gene frequencies and overall population size on practical resistance management of pyrethroid-resistant tobacco budworm at the field level. This analogy may have some application to contemporary management of bollworm on BT cottons. One can have control problems with a relatively small population if it has a high frequency of resistant individuals. Similarly, one can have control problems with low frequencies of resistance if the population size is comparatively large. This past year, we conducted a series of experiments to better understand the threat of BT-resistant bollworm to cotton from populations originating on BT corn. We also were interested in live table examinations that might explain some of the wide variability we'd previously seen in our BT monitoring work over the past 8 years. At four locations in the state, we collected larvae from silk stage BT corn and placed them on an untreated diet or a diet with 10 micrograms per ml of Cry1AC. Population density and age structure were recorded, and detailed observations were made on each individual larva in our laboratory at the University of Arkansas. Additional observations were made on reproductive capacity of inbred colonies from larvae held on untreated diet, designated as CI colonies, and the 10 microgram per ml diet, designated as TI colonies, and from colonies created by crossing surviving male and female moths from the treated diet with Labzea, our susceptible laboratory colony. Estimates in egg and larval production per female were made, and resulting larvae were exposed to 100 micrograms Cry1AC in diet incorporation assays and in plant assays with larvae fed conventional Bogard and Bogard 2 cotton for 7 days. Continued assays with larvae fed only the different cotton tissues until death or pupation were done for colonies exhibiting less than 25% mortality on Bogard or less than 50% mortality on Bogard 2 at 7 days. Continued life table information on survival rates and generation time were made on survivors from all assays. Individual field experiments, including four replicates of collections for both of the doses, were made. Test one was on the Greg Williams farm near Gin City down along the Red River. Test two was on Madison Farms in Foreman. Test three was in southeast Arkansas near Pickens. Test four was on Wildy Farms in Mississippi County in northeast Arkansas. This sequence of experiments from test one to test four moved northward with corresponding accumulation of heat units. Averaged across all four locations, densities of larvae were about 2 corn cobs per larva, or about a larva every other plant. The average size of larvae was about 3rd instars. Larvae placed on the Cry1AC treated diet had higher mortality, a greater likelihood of escape from the cardboard-capped diet cups, and about 50% less survival to pupation than those on the untreated diet. Larvae held on the treated diet required about 7 days longer to reach pupation, had a shorter pupal stage, and weighed less than those fed untreated diet. Sex ratio was similar for both treatments. Resulting inbred colonies from the control CI and treated TI diets and those hybridized with Labzea from each field experiment showed significant variability in reproductive capacity. Eggs per female ranged from 4.5 to 227. Larvae per female ranged from 0 to 131 per female. In an attempt to communicate some of these complex data in the short time frame available, I have summarized data by test or location of the field collection and by type of colony. In other words, CI, TI, or TF times lab, or TM times lab. Important results are communicated in the tables in red. Labs they have produced about four times as many eggs. And about eight times as many larvae as the average of all field colonies. Among test locations, colonies from test one and test two in southwest Arkansas had more eggs and larvae per female than those from test three and test four in the Delta. Egg production from colonies resulting from field males crossed with Labzea was significantly greater than the inbred colonies or the crosses between field females and Labzea. Similarly, resulting larvae per female was much greater for the male cross colonies, especially as compared to the treated inbred colonies. In diet incorporation assays, mortality of Labzea was intermediate among the most and least susceptible populations. When stunning or mortality plus L1 larvae was used as the response variable, only one colony had less mortality than Labzea. Based on our previous assay work, we would have categorized all of these colonies as being susceptible to cryo-1AC. A total of 74 assays, or 74 colonies, created from these field collections were fed conventional BT cottons for 7 days. Of these 74, 24 assays were continued to pupation. All were colonies resulting from male or female crosses with Labzea. There just wasn't enough larvae from the inbred colonies. No significant differences were detected among colony types in mortality rates on conventional Bogard or Bogard II cotton in 7-day assays. Average mortality was about 10% from conventional cotton, 50% on Bogard and 75% on Bogard II. Colonies from test 3 and 4 had higher mortality than those from test 1 and 2 collections. Of the 24 colonies continued on cotton assays, 22 were field male times Labzea, and 2 were field females times Labzea. A few differences were detected, although colonies from test 3 near Pickens, Arkansas, had higher mortality on Bogard plant tissue. Mortality at pupation was greater than 95% for all, but some survival was observed on both Bogard and Bogard II. Colonies resulting from the diet assay survivors and reared on untreated diet had survival rates of 60 to 90%, with survival of inbred field colonies being lower than that of Labzea or crosses with Labzea. Time to pupation was about 16 to 17 days for all colonies fed meridic diet. On conventional cotton, field colonies had larger pupae than Labzea and extended time to pupation, about 10 plus days more. Using the ecological data we collected, the average structure of larval age at collection, degree day accumulations for each field site, and published degree day development rates for Labzea, we estimated patterns of adult emergence with different model assumptions. This slide shows emergent times, not densities, for Labzea at Gin City under a diet-based development rates in the literature, B, corn and cotton developmental rates from the literature, C, the actual observed emergence patterns for larvae placed on untreated diet and then fed conventional cotton in our studies, and D, the actual observed emergence patterns from larvae reared on treated diet and then fed Bogard cotton in our studies. The models, including cotton development, both from the literature, B, and from our empirical measurements, C and D, have fewer generations than the diet development rates assumed in some population models. The increased exposure to BT, especially Bogard cotton, further delayed annual development and reduced overall temporal patterns of emergence in Labzea. This is a slide showing a similar relationship at Foreman, Pickens in southeast Arkansas, and Leechville in northeast Arkansas. Note in this model that only three generations result from model D with the BT cotton. Recall that in Models A and B for southeast Arkansas, there were 5 generations. This slide shows the impact of longer developmental times on resulting numbers of generations of azalea in Arkansas is influenced by cotton and exposure to BT. Within this single state, cotton growing regions may vary in the threat of bollworm infestation, with a total number of generations varying from 5 in the southwest to 3 in the northeast, based on temperature and host sequence. Using these models, Cotman estimates of average cutout dates for northeast Arkansas and 209 heat unit accumulations plus 350 post-cutout, we calculated the fraction of the third field generation of larvae that would reach third instar before cutout plus 350 heat units. At all locations under model A, B, and C, cotton would be exposed to the entire third generation. If these effects of delayed development from exposure to BT cotton are included, model D, Pickens in southeast Arkansas would escape 10% of the third generation. Those in Leechville with Tina Teague would escape 60% of the third generation. This is potentially important if one considers the potential suppressive effects of the new BT corn spread and the limited temporal threat to damage on large acreages of BT cotton in northeast Arkansas. Azalea populations from BT corn have significant reproductive fitness cost. Given these fitness costs, dispersal and great prolificity of azalea probably limits serious BT resistant segregation, yet preserves the survival traits in mixed matings with azalea from other host plants. Direct measurements of BT effects in cotton plant tissue may better reflect variable response in azalea populations to BT toxins. Cotton is not a good host for azalea, and increased corn acreage will change the landscape of management needs. Delayed development coupled with low reproductive potential may allow cotton to escape serious damage from azalea. Widespread planting of newer, more active BT corn hybrids may dramatically impact threat of azalea damage to cotton. Additional ecological work is needed as transgenic technologies and cropping patterns change across the agricultural landscape of the Mid-South. I'd like to acknowledge the Agricultural Experiment Station in Arkansas, cooperating farmers, student workers who did the assays and reared insects, and Dr. Teague and her student workers for helping with collecting the larvae at Wildy Farms. So.
We're running a few minutes behind, but I think let's go ahead and take a few questions. So.
No questions. Now you're back on time.
Thank you.